I'm Kathy Richardson, and welcome to Mobile Matters. And again, I'm here with Brad Martin, and this is a very special interview, which we did kind of on the spur of the moment, Brad.
It's true. Social networking makes things happen very quickly. A story came to us that is A, inspirational, B, that allows you to help, and C, that just shows the power of social media to effect real change. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. Our guest is Katie Blake of Pascagoula, Mississippi. And we'll talk more about the accident that has changed her life and what she's doing to change her life for the better. Katie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And I, of course, you and I have never met, but we have people in common. So I've known about your story from the beginning. But for somebody who has never heard of you, why don't you tell everybody how what happened 10 months ago and how you've gotten to where you are now? We'll talk about it in phases, but talk about what happened initially.
I was on a canoe trip with a group of friends in Hattiesburg, Mississippi on Little Black Creek, and we had just docked off at a point to rest up a little bit before the last leg of the canoe trip when a friend and I started running towards the water, and I saw a group of my friends in the water about neck deep and assumed that it was safe to dive and ran into the water, took a dive, and realized in midair it was far too shallow. As soon as I hit, my whole body went numb, and turned out that I had severed my C5 spinal cord, resulting in my paralysis.
Wow. And so at that point, you dove in, and you said you noticed, you realized it in midair, and of course, there was nothing you could do at that point.
Exactly.
When you hit, what happened? Were you conscious?
I was completely conscious the entire time. The instant I hit, my whole body just went numb. And I was face down in the creek, and I'm a little bit of a jokester, and so I knew my friends, knowing me, thought that I would be joking around. And it seemed like an eternity before they pulled me out, but, you know, it was probably no more than 15 seconds or so. But, I was completely conscious laying there and couldn't do anything, and then finally my friends pulled me out and realized something was wrong.
And so you obviously you were not where you could be, you know, rushed to a hospital right away. How did that happen?
We were very fortunate enough. There are park rangers along the Black Creek, and one of them saw what had happened and rushed over there. And despite the fact that I was panicking on the inside, I managed to stay very cool and collected and relayed all the information they needed to know as far as my identity and who they needed to contact. And they immediately got a helicopter out there from Forest General Hospital. Probably within 10 to 15 minutes, I was on the way to Forest General.
And how far were you from the hospital?
We were, Little Black Creek is about 15 minutes south of Hattiesburg, and we were probably three-fourths down from the start of the creek. So I was probably a good 30, 40 minutes away.
Wow. Wow. So helicopter to the rescue.
Right. It took about 5 minutes or less to get there.
Well, that's the way to do it. So you're on a helicopter, you get to the hospital, and how long were you there?
They took me, and the last thing I remember was them telling me they were prepping me for surgery. And I think I can remember about being there for about 30 minutes before everything just went black for about the next 2 weeks.
Wow. So there's a whole gap there, and you only know what people have told you about that time frame.
Exactly.
Katie, what did they do? What kind of surgery did they perform?
They went in the back, and my spinal cord was not actually completely severed. It was just fragmented. And so they had to go in and remove the fragments from the spinal cord, and they put in a rod. And then they also ended up having to do a tracheotomy. I had a breathing tube in for the first 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, they performed a tracheotomy to help breathe.
That sounds like an incredibly difficult ordeal to me.
Yes, it was, I didn't realize when it happened. I think part of me convinced myself it wasn't as serious as everybody was making it out to be, that, you know, surely this could never happen to me. And I think by the time that 2 weeks went by and I woke up, even though I had been conscious, I don't remember any of it. They had me on a drug called Versed, which does not allow you to actually make memories. And so by the time I had woken up, or, you know, from what I can remember waking up, it was just like, you know, what am I doing here? What happened?
So you
and
really
I think it was that moment that, you know, everybody filled me in on the last 2 weeks and how scary it actually was.
You had no memory of it?
None. There are little bits and pieces, you know, and I think I can kind of recall, just like, it seemed like a dream. But, yeah, for the most part, I don't remember any of it.
And then you were in the hospital a lot longer than that, though.
Oh, absolutely. I was in ICU the first time for about 4.5 weeks. I moved up to the 6th floor, and in the first weekend, I had a mucus plug in my tracheotomy, which almost caused me to stop breathing. They had to call a code blue, and I immediately went back to ICU for another 2 weeks. During those 2 weeks, I had to have an emergency surgery because it turned out my feeding tube was not sealed correctly, and it was leaking into my stomach, causing me to be very nauseous, run high temperatures. I couldn't eat anything. I went from 135 down to about 110. And so I had an emergency surgery to fix that. And after 2 weeks back in the ICU, I went back to the 6th floor for another about 5 weeks. So all in all, I was there about 3 months at Forest General Hospital.
And so you got to be really good friends with everybody at the hospital, probably.
I have great friends up there now. It's almost like I could probably go back there and stay like it's a hotel room, you know. It's comfortable, and they all know me by name, and they know my family, and they were wonderful up there, absolutely wonderful.
Well, that's good to know. So all this is going on, did they give you any prognosis as to how serious your injuries were or would be, or what your recovery would be like? Did they give you any indication at all this point, or was it just trying to get you stable?
Well, immediately after it happened, the doctors told my mom that I would have no movement past my biceps, that I was an incomplete C5, and even though I have full sensation down to my toes, I can feel everything. He said, you know, it would never move, I would never walk, and I wouldn't have nothing past my biceps. Well, within the first month, I proved him wrong about that.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Okay. So what is your, well, you obviously you've been working towards it, but what at this point, what are your abilities in that regard?
Well, I'm able to, the thing I lack the most is triceps. I'm able to do stuff. I paint, I play on my computer. I have a cell phone. I'm able to text and play games on. I can do my makeup, brush my hair, brush my teeth, put my shirt on over my head. Right now I'm in rehab learning. I'm about to start learning how to transfer myself.
And let's tell everybody what that means, to transfer yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right now my mother uses what is called a Hoyer lift. It is basically a sling that you wrap around me, and she lifts me with that to move me from my chair to the bed, anywhere I need to go. Once I'm able to transfer myself, I use my own arms to move my body from the chair to the bed.
And
that's giving me 10 times more independent.
Right, exactly, exactly. Okay.
Once I have that, I can go, you know, right now we're limited as to where we can go because we can't take the Hoyer lift with us.
Right.
But once I can transfer myself, you know, I can go anywhere I want.
So how do you, well, wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let me go back. So, okay, so you left Forest General.
Right.
And then where'd you go from there?
I went to Mississippi Methodist Rehab in Jackson.
And
at
you
the time,
went...
I had Mississippi Medicaid. Funny enough, I had insurance my entire life, except for the 10 months leading up to the accident.
Of course.
My mother had got put on Medicare and couldn't afford the insurance payments anymore.
Right.
And so I got picked up by Mississippi Medicaid, who were only going to allow me 2 weeks at rehab.
This
and
is inpatient,
so
inpatient
we went
rehab,
to rehab,
right?
And I was there for 2 weeks, and, you know, of course I would... been bedridden for 3 months, and so the first 2 weeks, you know, physically was very draining, you know, very hard for me to do anything, any little task, you know, it took a lot of strength out of me. Well, the night before I was supposed to leave, I was lucky enough to get picked up by Mississippi Vocational Rehab. Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with vocational rehabilitation.
I am, but many of my listeners may not
right.
be.
The thing about Mississippi Vocational Rehabilitation is that in order to qualify, you have to be able to be rehabilitated enough to become a functional member of society. Now, if I had been a C4 or a C3 quadriplegic and not be able to move my arms at all, I wouldn't qualify. But lucky enough, I have enough movement in my arms to be able to qualify for this. And so without vocational rehab, I wouldn't have a power chair. I wouldn't have had 2 extra weeks at rehab. They just purchased a BioNeS unit for me. I mean, vocational rehab has been absolutely wonderful.
And what is a BioNeS unit?
A BioNeS unit, they have them for the hand and for the feet. I have the hand unit, and what it does, it stimulates the muscles in my arms to allow my hand muscles to open and close. So I can use it for daily functions, if I'm needing to grasp anything that I can't grasp on my own, or I can do it daily as exercises to eventually retrain those muscles.
And how far have you gotten in that? How long have you had those, by the way?
Well, I've had them since about January. However, a certified BioNeS person must train you on them.
Uh-huh.
I just got trained on them this past week.
Oh, wow. So this is groundbreaking for you.
And... Oh, yes, it has been a very exciting week. So I just got trained on those Monday.
Wow.
But, Katie, 2 weeks doesn't seem like a very long period of rehab.
No, not at all. It is like, you know, for a disability I have to cope with for the rest of my life, 2 weeks is almost ridiculous.
It's not almost ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And when you have surgeries or hip replacements and things like this, and you have weeks and weeks or 6 weeks of rehab, and as you say, you're facing this for the rest of your life. You're moving toward goals, but still, it's a long haul.
Right. And so all in all, I had 4 weeks of inpatient rehab.
So what now?
Well, now I'm currently doing outpatient 3 times a week for 2 hours at a time. So, you know, I went from having 6 hours a day to doing 6 hours a week. Of course, you know, at home I do exercises on my own, but, you know, without the proper equipment or therapist, I can only go so far.
And you're in a situation now, as I gather, that you are using Facebook and social networking to try to replace or to create the opportunities for rehabilitation that you don't have any other way.
Right. It's just, you know, it's something to backtrack a little bit, in January I was actually denied Medicaid. And it was a whole ordeal that me and my mother had to go through, and took us 2.5 months to finally get Medicaid back. Well, during that time, all therapy was put to a halt. And it was, you know, it was like, what do? I'm obviously disabled, and yet I was denied Medicaid. Lucky enough, we had a family friend who came to the house, and, you know, while he was able to, he was a physical therapist, on his own time came and, you know, showed me exercises I needed to do and told me the things, you know, that would benefit working out. But other than that, I was stuck. And so I just kept kind of toying around with the idea. I said, you know, well, look at Facebook and YouTube and how many people are able to voice themselves and, you know, get noticed by these media outlets. And it's just, you know, I'm a little camera shy, so at first I was kind of nervous thinking, well, you know, what if it doesn't work, and what if I just get my hopes up, and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And finally it was just like, you know, well, I'm not going to lose anything by trying.
And
it's been the best decision ever.
And let me just explain to listeners that we are recording this on Friday. So by the time they hear this the following day after we record it, there may be even newer developments. But let's start with the Facebook page. That's how I really got involved with this project. We found out about it. And you started the page when?
I started the page Tuesday morning.
So by the time we hear this, 4 days earlier.
Right.
And I have been astounded to see the number of people just growing and growing. It's been kind of one of my little activities of the day to see how many people have signed on to that page.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Not only the people that have liked it, but the people I've never met who have offered to help, who, you know, the whole purpose of the site was just to spread my story out there, and maybe the right person would hear it who could help me go back to rehab. But, you know, people are asking me to, they want to send donations, they want to start fundraisers, you know. It's gone above and beyond anything I expected.
And I think that's a reality of social media. You know, it's a ball that once you start it rolling, if you can get it rolling with enough momentum, it's hard to stop it. Not that you want to stop it, but it's one of those things that kind of takes on a life of its own, and that certainly seems to be what's happened with your page.
Absolutely, and it's funny because I was going to originally start with a YouTube video, And then I forgot what made me. Monday night I was just laying in bed thinking, and I said, well, I'll do a Facebook page first, you know, just try to get the interest out there. I thought maybe a Facebook page would be easier to spread than a YouTube video at first.
I think
it was definitely the right way to go.
And as the technology consultant for this show, I shall tell you that I think that was a very smart move. Because it's the kind of thing that, you know, YouTube can spread too, but Facebook, you have so many options, and you can use that to spread the YouTube and spread anything else that you want to sort of propagate. So I think that was a smart move. So, okay, so you've got this Facebook page, and what other events have come from that? What other types of fundraisers or other ideas? How can people get involved, I guess, is what I'm asking. If they're listening to the show right now, what kind of things are going on, and how can they find you, and what can they do to be of assistance?
Well, they could definitely go to the Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/rehabforkatie.
And that's K-A-T-Y.
Yes, it is. I was just about to say that, K-A-T-Y. And one of the biggest things I think that has come from it is the sweetest girl that I've never met. She apparently graduated with my brother. She called the Southern Bell Corporation. I don't know if you're familiar with Southern Bell t-shirts.
I am, yes. And folks, we're not talking about Southern Bell, the phone company, okay?
Right. The Southern Bell t-shirts have been a huge thing here in the South for the last couple of years. And in fact, it's funny because I would always wear them at Methodist rehab, and yet the writing's on the back of them, so I would wear them backwards. So people could see the writing, because otherwise you couldn't see them.
Oh, that's true, because you were in bed, and yeah, okay, I got it.
People just thought my mom didn't know how to dress me that well. And so she called the corporation, and they're actually going to design a t-shirt for me with a quote that I had put up on my personal Facebook page that says, when life puts you in a tough situation, instead of saying, why me, say, try me. And so the t-shirt will have a design, I think like a cross or something of that sort, and then it'll have that quote on there. And it's going to be grass green, and we'll start taking orders. It'll be $15 for a shirt, and hopefully, you know, either today or next Friday we'll get the sketch, and we'll start going through with the Southern Bell t-shirt fundraiser.
And we want to keep up with all of that, too.
And that, and you, by the way, that is on your Facebook page, right? So people can kind of follow the action as it happens.
Right. As soon as we know anything, it goes straight on the Facebook page.
One of the things that I think is so interesting with up to 1,000 people now who've connected with this, that you're meeting people that you said the sweetest person I never met, but you're making friends now.
Yes, we are. I know. It's amazing. You know, just the selfless people out there. You know, sometimes you wonder about today's society, and you know, you come across a lot of ignorant people out on the streets, and then, you know, to be met with such kindness from strangers, it's amazing.
What an amazing project. And you know, I wanted to get involved, and we're going to talk off air about some ways that I can help you as well. But again, we want to mention the Facebook page, and you did say that you're going to do a YouTube video at some point, right?
Right. I'm actually waiting. I'm supposed to be getting a flip video camera soon, and so that's kind of what I'm waiting on right now. So as soon as I get that, I hope to put a video up.
That'll be fun. And, of course, the Facebook page, again, is facebook.com/rehabforkatie, K-A-T-Y. Mm-hmm. And last I saw, you were over 1,100 people who had liked your page, and that was a couple hours ago. I don't know where it is now. And by the time people hear this program, it will probably be higher. So, but again, it's one of those things. If spreading the word is so important, letting people know, and you know, it's so easy to post the link to someone's Facebook page or to your own Facebook page and let people follow it. I'm sure that's how it's spread. And I have seen more comments from people who clearly, from the way they write, they don't know you.
Exactly.
But they've gotten involved. And I just think that's an amazing project. And it's a testament, though, to your ingenuity in coming up with ways to make something happen. And it certainly tells us all that you will, in fact, be a functional member of society. I want to ask you, what are your goals?
As far as?
In terms of long term, what do you know, in terms of your strength and what you want to do, and you know, I think I read that you're planning on going back to school, and you know, considering that, you know, the question was whether or not you would be able to function in society, I think you certainly will. But do you have any ideas on what you want to do long term?
You know, that's the funny thing is that, you know, before I lacked 1 year of college to finish my public relations degree. And I took off for two reasons, for financial reasons, and also because, you know, I just wasn't sure if that's what God really wanted me to do. You know, I just didn't feel it in my heart that was right for me. And now, without a doubt, I know that I want to help people with disabilities, whether it be spinal cord injury or, you know, any sort of disability that somebody has. You know, I want to work in some facet of a rehab to help people the way people have helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be research or support or counseling or therapy, you know, I just know I want to be involved with helping people overcome what they don't think they can.
And is there any indication of whether or not you'll be able to walk or not?
That's the funny thing about being an incomplete injury. And even when I asked the doctors today, you know, they don't know. There's no way to actually tell with an incomplete spinal cord injury how far you can actually go in your recovery. And kind of a funny story, a girl that I met at Methodist Rehab, her name is Nicole Marquez. She is actually from Madison, Mississippi, graduated from Southern Miss. She moved to New York City to be a dancer. She fell 6 stories, landed on a glass bottle, and laid there for 8 hours. She broke her C5, her C4, and an L4, I believe. And it was all incomplete. She was airlifted from New York, went to Methodist Rehab as well for, I want to say, about 6 months. 2 years later, when I was at Methodist, she walked into my room.
Wow.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if she could do it coming from having so much worse of an injury.
Right.
You know, and she walked in my room with no assistance.
Well, you have the determination. I think you will do well. And as someone who is blind and therefore in a different way has a disability, I can tell you there's a lot you can do even with a disability. And so I want to encourage you, and I don't think you need my encouragement, but I want to thank you also for participating in this program, because I think it's a story that we need to hear, because it's inspirational, but also because it's a way for people to help. And people like both of those things.
Right. It's something else I just kind of want to mention, almost like as a PSA in a sort, but, you know, it's getting to that time of year where people are going out on the boats and swimming. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are or where you are. You know, don't dive anywhere where you don't know the depth of the water. You know, it's amazing how your life can change in the blink of an eye. And when I tell people it was a diving accident, they almost look at me like, are you sure you didn't mean driving? No, like, no, it was diving, you know, and it was a canoe trip. And, you know, it was just a complete freak accident that can happen to anybody, and people, you know, really do need to take caution when they're in these situations.
Absolutely.
Katie, I would like to thank you so much for being on Mobile Matters. You are a very inspiring person. Your spirit is amazing. And I know that you're going to make the best of all the rehab options and that you're going to make it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, and we'll follow your progress on facebook.com/rehabforkatie, K-A-T-Y.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Katie Blake of Pascagoula, Mississippi. She's working on ways that she can get back to the kind of therapy she can only get from inpatient rehab, and this gets back to what we talked about when I was hosting Mobile Matters for you, Kathy, about getting involved in your community. You can find out how to do that at her Facebook page. Again, it's facebook.com/rehabforkatie, and Katie is spelled K-A-T-Y.
Thanks, Brad. I'm Kathy Richardson, and you've been listening to Mobile Matters on 91.3 WHIL. We thank you for listening, and your comments, suggestions, and input are welcome at news@whil.org. You're listening to 91.3 WHIL FM, Mobile, Biloxi, Pensacola, your station for in-depth NPR news and quality classical music.